Chapter 42. The Summons to the Exiles. How truly the last chapters of the book of Isaiah speak of the speedy deliverance of the Hebrews is evident upon almost every page. This message came to the exiles to stir them up to be willing to give up Babylon and to believe that their deliverance was at hand. As Cyrus drew nearer and nearer, the tone of the prophecy became more and more confident. The end of the wicked Babylonian kingdom was at hand. It reminds us of the triumph of Nahum over the wickedness of Nineveh, as we read the expectation that proud Babylon also shall be destroyed. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the mistress of kingdoms. Babylon had supposed, as Assyria before her, that it was her own greatness that enabled her to conquer Israel, but she must learn that she was only the instrument of God. I was wroth with my people. I profaned mine inheritance and gave them into thy hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the aged hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke, and thou saidst, I should be mistress forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end thereof. The splendid empire was so strong that she never expected defeat. She was very sure that she would never know the widowhood that she had brought upon other nations, nor the loss of her children as she had enslaved other peoples. But these very calamities she should know. It is a terrible retribution that the prophet speaks. Now, therefore, hear this. Thou that art given to pleasures, that sittest securely, that sayest in thy heart, I am, and there is none else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. In their full measure shall they come upon thee, in the multitude of thy sorceries, and the great abundance of thine enchantments. The Babylonians were very expert in their knowledge of the heavens. They understood the planets, and had carried the art of foretelling the future by astrology to a great perfection. In this knowledge they greatly depended for their safety. But the prophet sneers at such useless learning. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from the things that shall come upon thee. As contrasted with that security of the Babylonians, let Israel realize that the end of the wicked empire is coming, and the day of the deliverance of God's people is at hand. The prophet cries to them, Go ye forth from Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, Jehovah hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the water to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith Jehovah, to the wicked. Israel might well hesitate. It might seem that Jehovah had forgotten her. So the prophet reminds his people of the more than maternal love of their God. But Zion said, Jehovah hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her child, that she should not have compassion on her son? Yea, these may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Israel might well look across the desert to her own land and see the wasted cities and realize how few were the people to inhabit them, but a glorious time was surely coming. The cities should be built and the place should be too small, and Israel should come back from every land, and the very kings of the earth should bring it to pass. For as for thy waste and desolate places, and thy land that hath been destroyed, surely now shalt thou be too strait for the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children of thy bereavement shall yet say in thine ears, The place is too strait for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations, and set up my ensign to the peoples, and they shall bring thy sons in their bosom, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. The prophet should remind his people again that it is in the greatness of Jehovah that they may depend for the certainty of deliverance. To be sure, Israel had forgotten Jehovah. Again and again she had sinned, but God had never forgotten Israel, and it was of his own grace and might that the deliverance should be effected. After words of admonition, the prophet again becomes exultant. He lifts up his face, as it were, from Babylon, and calls across the far space that separates from Palestine, and bids the city of Zion, Get ready to be beautiful. Of course, Jerusalem is in ruins, but it is time to expect new glory. Awake, awake! Put on thy strength, O Zion! Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city! For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise, sit on thy throne, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bonds of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. The prophet sees already upon the mountains of Judah the messengers who are hurrying to bring the tidings of the returning exiles. What is more glorious than a messenger of good tidings? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth, the voice of thy watchmen, lift up the voice, together do they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Jehovah returneth to Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For Jehovah hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. Jehovah hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. As soon as the opportunity is offered, the exiles that are in Babylon must not wait for a day. The prophet already feels that he can call upon them to depart. How the words must have rung in the ears of the men who had waited for so long for the exile to cease. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Cleanse yourselves, ye that bear the vessels of Jehovah. For ye shall not go out in haste, neither shall ye go by flight. For Jehovah will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. There was still fear as the prophet fully realized that the people would not respond to the summons to return. They might easily seek their satisfaction in things that would not bless them and spend their efforts in what would never bring them a real national good. He begs them, therefore, to respond. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. All that is necessary to do is to repent of the sins of the past. The calamities that had befallen the nation had come as the result of iniquity. But Jehovah is abundantly ready to forgive everything of the past. This was a day of opportunity, and the prophet with pleading voice said to them, Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He knew that it was hard for the people to believe that they really could return to their own land. It was difficult to believe that they could go out of Babylon without anyone to stop them. And it was difficult to believe that they could do anything with their barren land, even if they reached it. It was grown with thorns and briars. Could it ever be fertile? The prophet declares to them that Jehovah's promise of their deliverance is as certain as the falling of the rain. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, and giveth seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to Jehovah for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.